back to the Sideshow Podcast, episode 409. It is the eve of Valentine's Day when we're recording the show, which is...
Big plans for that one.
Yeah, well, which is significant because today is the 50th anniversary of Black Sabbath's debut album, which means it's essentially heavy metal's birthday. So, Happy birthday, heavy metal.
Fair point.
50 years since what, and Metal Sucks pointed this out, and it's true, that album changed musical history. It pioneered, and without knowing it, ended up pioneering a genre and nowadays a bazillion into subgenres and combinations thereof, which, you know, we love to name and mishmash them all. So that's exciting. It's also the day Rage Against the Machine tickets for their U.S. tour went on sale. I was fortunate enough to get a few I can't take credit. I tried to get them. My wife managed to get into Ticketmaster before me, despite getting on later, and got us some tickets. So 20 years after a canceled tour that I was supposed to go to, I finally get to see this band. Super stoked.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's too bad they're only playing the festival up near you.
Yeah, kind of bullshit. They're headlining Boston Calling this year, which is a 3-day, like, tons of bands music festival, and they're headlining it with Run the Jewels, who they're doing their tour with. Mm-hmm. Those would be the only two bands that day I have any interest in seeing, and because it's part of a huge festival, the tickets are already extremely expensive, and then when they sold out immediately after Rage announced they were going to be on it, they're on StubHub for $350 plus a piece now. That's... which is just not money I'm willing to spend.
No.
Especially at some massive festival where you're going to be a million miles away anyways. Like,
right.
There's no chance. Even if I had the money to spend on it, which I don't, I still would.
Yeah, I knew this was going to be a more expensive ticket, and it's... I don't remember what I paid for the Big Four show. But that possibly aside, this is definitely the most I've paid for a ticket, surpassing Iron Maiden and Metallica, which were previously my two most expensive tickets. But I knew that going in, and I was actually pleasantly surprised they were the price they were. Which, for those of you who were trying or were curious, is around $125 base price. It's a lot. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But this could be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, so I wasn't gonna miss it again. That's exciting. There's a whole bunch of... I already have four... That was my fourth show lined up for the year so far. Other one being the Gojira Deftone show, which is 10 days after Rage, so August is going to be awesome.
I still haven't bought tickets for that one yet.
Because...
Because they were on presale originally, and I think you needed like a city card or some shit to do that, which I don't have. And...
I didn't know if it was a price thing or a location thing or a...
It's also a location thing. I don't know. I gotta mess with that a little more. The band was shooting texts around about buying tickets and all going together, so we just gotta figure out what version we want to go to. It's weird. They're playing like smaller amphitheater arenas in, you know, instead of like the main Boston and Hartford locations that you usually go for those size shows. They're doing outside Boston, and they're doing Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Right, yeah, you texted me that.
Which is, it's just weird. So we're trying to figure out, I've never been to either venue that they're playing at, so we're trying to figure out what the better venue, the better experience would be, and then trying to line up schedules. So end up going.
What's the other location?
I don't remember. It was a weird name. I can look it up while we start talking about the other.
So I was going to say, the other place is Bridgeport. So, like...
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Yeah.
Though I do know a rad store and distillery, which we're going to go to someday, but it's Bridgeport.
Huh, good point. Yeah. I don't know. We talked about it a little bit with the band, but we didn't land on anything. So I think tickets go on actual sale tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So I should probably, when we're done recording this, shoot some texts around to the band and figure out what we want to do. But yeah, I definitely want to go to that. Like, yeah.
Oh, so one last tour that announced this week, and I think went on sale today. It's Lamb of God and Megadeth with Trivium and In Flames.
Yeah. Interesting lineup.
It is. And if that tour was 10 or so years ago, I'd go in a heartbeat despite Megadeth. But now In Flames is utter crap.
Right.
Trivium is okay. And I still don't like Megadeth, so it's been a while since I've seen Lamb of God. No, that's a lie. I saw him a couple years ago with Slayer. I'd like to see Lamb of God, but like, unless I get a $20 lawn seat at PC Bank Art Center in the summer, I can't really justify that.
Yeah, no. I would not be going to that one.
For $20, I'll go drink beers in the parking lot, watch Trivium and Lamb of God, and go home. Call an early night. That'd be fine, but that's about it. So, yeah, if there's any tours, I know we just named a bunch of big ones. There's some smaller ones coming around I'm sure we're aware of, but if there's anything significant you think we missed or you heard about that's coming up that maybe we haven't, or your band's touring in our area or something, let us know. Yeah. Social media, or you can email us through the website, per usual. Now that we've had that little chit-chat about tours, let's get into some album reviews. We got, per usual, three albums in our feature this week, which was a continuation of last week's Black Label. And two of the three of these bands we have reviewed before. The first one being Death White with their new album's called Grave Image. It's out now on Season of Mist. And am I mistaken? Was Death White on Season of Mist last time?
Hang on.
Because I want to say they weren't.
They were.
They were. All right. I'm thinking of a different band then. All right. Well, this is their second album for the label as well. We liked the last one. It's gloomy. It's doomy. It's perfect for January or February, as it is. It's good winter music. It's, for me, it's a good blend of Catatonia, Paradise Lost, a little Latter Day Swallow the Sun, maybe a little Draconian in there. There's some good melodies. The vocals are really nice, pleasant, I want to say. Mm-hmm. It's a strong male, clean vocal where he stays in a range he's comfortable with, and is also his tone is so fitting to the rest of the music. It's like, it's really a perfect blend with the band and this production, which is also very good. My problem with this album really is I feel it's missing a few hooks. I enjoy every song on a mix, or I actually do enjoy the album as a whole, but I almost immediately forget it. And there's some extra hooks in there. For instance, the song Plague of Virtue, I didn't write it down. That's what we're going to play, right?
Yep.
Yeah. That has I think the riff in the beginning of the song is a really good hook, but it's track 8 out of 10. Like, that's more of that needed to be in earlier on the album. Songs like Funeral Ground's a good starter, but In Eclipse is a solid song, but Further from Salvation, solid song, but I feel like almost all of them need one little extra hook in there, one little something to make it more memorable. That said, the experience is good, and if you're a fan of any of the bands I just mentioned, I think you'll enjoy this. It's just a question of, will I remember this come next winter, or even, you know, in the fall?
Yeah, I feel like it's going to come out that the members of this band are members of all the bands you just mentioned. because if you recall, this band has kept their identity completely secret. That was the kind of big hype that circled around their debut, was that this was a band that kind of came out of nowhere. There are no photos of them. There's no information about who they are. And they managed to sustain that through the sophomore album, which is fucking impressive.
Yes.
But if it was a band that just basically was members of all of those bands in one, it would not surprise me in the slightest. You figure they have to have some sort of pedigree to be an otherwise unknown band with no music out, not an EP, nothing, and come out on a decent-sized label like Season of Mist for a debut.
Well,
you're pointing at me.
They do have two. They did have two EPs.
They do have. Okay, I was unaware of the EPs. All right,
but all right. But still, to have it's only the two EPs to their name and then jump to Season of Mist is still a good move. Big move.
Definitely. Yeah, it follows a very similar trajectory to what their last one did. Though, I would say this is maybe a little bit more on the goth-inspired doomy side of things compared to For a Black Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And also the production is more fitting of that. It's a little bit more robust. It's a little bit thicker.
Yes.
The album in general is just a little bit thicker, both like in its pacing, in its delivery, in the mood it has. And I think that's a step up. I think it's an improvement over the last one. It still definitely sounds like all the bands you mentioned. It's very, like, sad, rainy day goth feeling. But that's not a bad thing.
No.
Like, it's good to have a few of those bands in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Especially when, like, you know, Swallow the Sun hasn't been really doing too much that we've loved as of late. Catatonia's been hit or miss. I feel like recently more missed than hit, although I might be missing an album there. But just in general, I feel like a lot of what we've been getting of this ilk is not something that we've been like super stoked to go back to.
Right.
So to hear a band that's evolving in the right direction, although maybe without a couple big hooks, you know, there are definitely a few shortcomings on it.
Sure.
It's still very solid. It has the right mood. It has the right production. It's like almost a soothing listen, while still having some teeth.
Right.
And that's an interesting mix. You know, usually you see bands kind of like this could easily go more of a Sermon direction. If you took out some of the distorted chunkiness and added a little bit of synth, it has a very similar mood.
Yes.
But this still isn't afraid to give you some good chuggy, like metal riffs. And it's a balance you don't see a lot doing well in 2020. So it's welcome, though not perfect.
Yeah, I think gloom is a good word to describe it. It's a gloomy release. I think the issue is while each song is good, there's not a lot of dynamic between the songs. So while there's some dynamics within each song, you know, a little faster riff here, double bass there.
Right.
But song to song, there it's a very similar pacing and mood, and I think that's where it gets a little lost. So a little more dynamic throughout the album. Album three could be a real hit, but this is solid. This is a good album, and also I love the artwork for this.
Yeah,
it's good. Paints such a, let's say paints a good image is a really dumb way to describe album artwork, but it really does a good job setting the tone and the gloominess and the mood of this album in a really interesting piece. All right, so with that, check out the song Plague of Virtue by Death White off their latest album Grave Image, out now on Season of Mist. We'll be right back.
All right, that was Plague of Virtue from Deathwhite off their latest Grave Image, out now on Season of Mist. The next one we have is also one we've reviewed before. This is our second one of Brian's aforementioned two out of three that we've covered before. And that would be Psilosis's latest, Cycle of Suffering, out on Nuclear Blast. What? That's a lot of S.
That's a lot of alliteration.
I did it. Go me. So this is our third time reviewing them, their fifth full length. I was a fanboy of Monolith, which we reviewed back in episode 56.
Jesus.
And then their last one, Dormant Heart, was 2015, so still a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 173. You gave both of those threes. I was a 5 and then a 4. So here we are, 2020, with Cycle of Suffering. This is a little different for them. I enjoyed it. I've been looking forward to talking to you about it all week, because I feel like if there was an album that was going to make you like this band, this would be it. And if it doesn't, then I think you should probably just hang up the towel and you can stop reviewing them if this is just another like mediocre one for you. But I feel like this plays to all of your strengths. In that, like, I think when we reviewed Monolith, what I probably said about it was that it was as close as we were going to get to metal with a capital M, Machine Head style metal that year, as a gap year between Machine Head albums.
Okay.
It has that kind of thrash infused, just straight up metal, riff-tastic, fun playing. Lots of good, like, headbanging, groovy moments. Dormant Heart lost a little bit of that for me. It was kind of a misstep. It just wasn't quite as intense, but still solidly written. This brings in some of those early 2000s heyday metalcore breakdowns into otherwise thrash-infused, straightforward metal, which I feel like plays to all of your weaknesses. I feel like that it's like designed to have these big builds, harsh cuts, payoff, chuggy breakdown chanty moments. I mean, there are moments of this that sound like some of the breakdowns are led into from something off of a more recent Polar album, but there's still plenty of thrashy, riffy, melodic moments. And I think a lot of where that comes from, again, another band you don't love, but I think where a lot of that comes from is that the singer slash, I think, primary songwriter is now a full-time member of Architects. So he's been playing a lot more metalcore breakdown riffs before going into the studio and writing this album. And while this sounds nothing like Architects, I feel like it took a little bit of that influence, a little bit of that, like, let's do a smashy breakdown in the middle of a song, and worked it into their general sound.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I feel like you should too, but I don't think you're convinced.
Yeah, here's the... Everything you said is correct, except they do nothing better or different than what was done back in 2007 when the style was popular. So this sounds to me like what Trivium should have been doing around then. And even vocally to an extent. And I like the breakdowns a little more, but I just feel like all of it, they didn't bring, it's new to them, but none of it is new or even as gripping as some of the stuff I've heard before. Because you're right. Everything you said is right. This should play to so many of my strengths. Just like Elysian should on paper. But there's something not grabbing me. And I think, kind of like I said for Deathwhite, there's a lack of dynamic. Like, every song is riffs and breakdowns that in big choruses that kind of blend together. Whereas, or to the point where half or so through this album, I am done. Like, I don't need more of it. Which is to a slightly different point. All of their albums are far too fucking long.
That I will agree with. They run on a fair amount.
This is the shortest album at 50 minutes. Now, a couple of the other ones have, that I have, Actually, only one of them has bonus tracks. But 59 minutes, hour 12, hour 12, hour 6. Like, if this album was 40 minutes long or 37 minutes long, somewhere in that range, and had the strongest songs from here, I might it might be a little stronger. They're talented. The riffs are good. The vocals are okay. They're nothing unique, but they're solid. Every part of this band is solid. Their writing is just not interesting. It's not bad, but it's not gripping. So, like, this is a 3 for me, but in a different way, because I do like the different direction. It's also interesting to note that now their drummer is also the drummer from Bleed From Within, mm-hmm. which I think is somewhat similar styled. And their bassist, who was joined last year, is in Conjurer, which that influence is clearly lacking on this album.
Yeah.
But so it's an interesting mix of members, but I feel like Josh Middleton, who is the only original member, and I think, as you noted, and is he's the primary songwriter, also the main guitarist and vocalist, he needs to let others in. He's not quite pulling on Mike Amott here, but, like, I feel it sounds like he's the one writing it, as opposed to the other band members who have clearly been rotating over time are not joining in and adding the diversity to it. Mm. So it's good. It's a little different. There's some solid moments in there. There are some solid breakdowns and riffs. There's nothing I utterly disliked, but I did get a little bored, and they still need, especially for the runtime, need to show more dynamic through the album to make it worthwhile.
Okay. I disagree with the dynamics. I agree with the runtime. I think there's plenty of variety and variation throughout this that I don't think it needs to be more diverse than what it is. But the runtime is still too
long. Right, but then there's something else then, because there's something that's still by the end of, like, track 8, I'm like, holy crap, there's 4 more songs. I'm, like, bored with it. So maybe it's something in the writing, there's something in the production, I don't know. But it just, something is not hitting me right. And again, there's nothing bad on it. It's another one I'm like, I'm gonna forget about this for 5 years until the next album comes out.
All right, I'm gonna disagree with that one a little bit. This still, to me, is not as good as Monolith was. That, to me, is kind of their Monolith album, their big album. This is good. I kind of like the more thrash influenced version of them a little bit better, so I'm landing at a 4 on this one. But still solid, still better than Brian's as it is. With that, we're going to play Apex of Disdain from Psilosis off their album Cycle of Suffering. Check it out.
Yeah!
that was Psilosis with their song Apex of Disdain off their album Cycle of Suffering, out now in Nuclear Blast. Let us know what you think of that one, since Nick and I seem to be a little divided, even if our score was only a point different. Speaking of point differences, I'm going to sidetrack real quick. Nick had been bugging me to go back and listen to Where Owls Know My Name by Rivers of Nile. From 2 years ago, did I give that a 3? Probably, and I was like,
I think so. You were a 3. I was a 4.
Yeah, I was like, enough of this sax crap. Like, I didn't care for the jazzy bits, and at that time, I'm like, to me, Rivers of Nile was supposed to be a death metal band. That's what they were leading to. That's what they had put out before. I wanted just a variety of, more on the death metal side, and this was super progressive. And I was just like, what the fuck? Because around that time, there were a lot of bands making that transition, and I was just annoyed by the whole thing. We saw it from Obscura, we saw it from a whole bunch of bands that needed to circle back. Now that I've been removed from it for approximately 2 years, the album is great. It's something that, if you can let go of what I need to let go of, that it's not that death metal-y, it really leans heavily on the progressive elements. It is a very well-written album, and repeat listens will give you hooks through the vocals, through various other pieces of the music, to keep you coming back to it. The album is composed in a way that actually stands to listen to in its entirety is a great experience, and the production on it's phenomenal. I listened to it twice this week. I haven't listened to it over the years, so I can't say it's sunken in yet, but it's there. If they wanted to stay in the style now, I can totally appreciate that. Would I like a little more death metal in it for pacing purposes? Yes, because that's what I prefer. I like a little more speed, a little more heft to it. But I can get on board with this, especially... I was just saying this to Nick. I'm probably not going to buy this on vinyl, but if I did, I could totally get into putting on a nice big pair of headphones and laying on my couch and just, like, soaking it in. Would be a great way to experience it. So,
for sure.
Minds do change. The numbers won't, because it's not reflective of the time.
Right. I'm not going back.
We do occasionally go back to these things. So, in similar vein, since Nick keeps telling me I should love Monolith by Psilosis, I added that to my personal playlist for our Sideshow review. So in the next couple weeks, I'll try to spend that a time or two and see if my mind changes or not. Tune in at 4:10 to find out. With that, we're back. We have a Black Label again. This month we've been featuring Transcending Obscurity. We talked about them a lot last week. And we played a song for you from Officium Trist, which is one of their older, it was a year or two ago release, something a little more in the melodic doom side, which, again, Transcending Obscurity, been around since 2009. They have a lot of bands on their label now. Nick and I have gone through literally all of them, or at least that are on Bandcamp and sampling them. You got a lot of death metal, black metal. I mentioned doom there, and there's variations of all that, combinations of it, death and crust, grind and death metal, black thrash, what have you. All quality, various production stuff. I will say there's a couple of missteps in production, in my opinion. Generally speaking, all quality stuff. Quality releases in production and the music itself. And one of the favorite things we discussed last week is merch and packages. There's box set. Every band, even if they don't get a vinyl pressing, they get a CD, and they always get a limited run of box sets that have like patches and stickers, and are usually embellished with some type of glossiness or shininess or something extra to it to make it stand out. It's not just like a box with the album print with the CD sitting inside. So, and that is one of the reasons. So I had quoted from this last week, but back in 2016, there was an interview that Kunal Chatsky, again, I apologize if I'm butchering your name, did with Decibel Magazine. And they asked him the question, what do you feel is the importance of record labels in 2016? Yeah, it's 4 years ago, but I still feel that's a very relevant question, and probably the same thing stands. And there was a couple pieces to his answer, one of which is that, quote, things still need to be professionally put out and promoted, if not distributed. Most bands I know here are trying to cut corners because they're worried about losing money due to there not being enough sales. Which is fair. And I think there's probably still ways of doing it if you know the right people, but you're not going to get the same promotion. It's going to be harder for you to get through, say, the radio or podcast promotion like we get. I mean, we're at a point we get a whole glut of bands and stuff through, but we can recognize names now, at the very least, even if we don't sample right. The music. Like, we're now seeing this. It's getting to online magazines and blogs and stuff, so it's getting around the internet. It's a lot harder to do by yourself. And that's to further his answer, he has his own PR company, so he can ensure good promotion. He writes all the descriptions himself, and at the time says he'd continue to do so. Furthermore, you need somebody to put out merch. To quote him again, DIY makes sense only if you can DIY really well and have built a strong reputation for your band over the years. Even then, some things such as distribution or promotion are best done by labels. There's distribution for Transcending Obscurity in US and Europe. So you can get these, it differs a little bit. Europe definitely has more of the stuff, but in the US you can get some of the CDs and the merch, a few of the box sets, you can get all the stuff out of the Europe distribution. But a lot of these bands who are coming from literally everywhere, we reviewed that last week, you're not going to get to either continent probably, without somebody helping you out. So I think there's definitely relevancy for labels, and as we know and have discussed at various points in the past, they just have to change how they're doing things. Some have, some haven't. But, you know, as fans, we want that too. We want to have access to your merch. It sucks when, you know, we see it all the time and we get it, but it sucks when you're only in Australia and that's the only place you put out vinyl. So it's $45 to buy it, a $25 vinyl. Or I really want your hoodie, but it's only in Europe and $25 shipping and Frontier.
Frontier would still buy that hoodie if they put it out again.
Well, and they're vinyl and stuff too. And I get it. They're doing what they have to do. And eventually maybe you'll get to US, set up something else. But I mean, it is important. And I totally respect that.
Definitely.
This label has figured that out. So that's a little more about them and Transcending Obscurity and how it runs. We'll be, I'm sure, circling back to this label as more releases come out in 2020. And with that, their band Nick and I both agreed on we're very interested in is called Medium. They are out of Argentina and listed by the label as grindcore/crust. And to speak of the merch momentarily again, there's a CD box set with an 8-panel digipack with metallic effect and UV lamination with embossing. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a beautiful package. It is. And their artwork is really nice and, like, just it's really crisp and well laid out. And, like, I haven't really even heard this album yet, but I kind of want to buy that pack and get the t-shirt.
Right.
Though, right before we hit record, Brian and I just had a conversation about buying vinyl and t-shirts this year and how I'm not doing it.
Add it to your wish list.
Right, yeah.
But this package, this set in particular, comes with a metallic effect poster, autograph card, metallic sticker, silver patch, and a large, they say badge, but like pin. That's pretty nice. And again, all the embellishments and stuff on it in this box set for €20. That's not bad. Shipping to here is not great, but generally speaking, the price actually, it's only $8. maybe Nick will get it for his birthday after all. At any rate, but that's just this one example of literally what every band on this label gets. So Medium has their self-titled album coming out March 6th. We will probably review it, as well as some other things coming up from this label. For now, check out the track El Gigante.
That was El Gigante from Medium. It will be coming out soon on Transcending Obscurity, which was our Black Label segment for the month. Speaking of our Black Label segments, we're actually stepping back one here for our last album review of the week and going to our Redefining Darkness band that just put an album out. The band is Plague, and it's their debut album, Portraits of a Mind. This is old school death metal with better production, a listenable production. Let's go with that. It doesn't sound like super fuzzed out HM2 unlistenableness, which is fantastic. And it plays a little bit more on a thrashy side of things, I think. Mm-hmm. There are moments of it that are a little reminiscent of, I mean, just keeping with modern contemporaries of similar production and note, something on the lines of a Worm Witch, but without like the "we don't know who we are yet" vibe, like, which is a good thing about Worm Witch, as we all know. But they don't play with quite that levity, but it has a similar production and kind of, you know, coming in and out of old school death metal with a little bit of a thrash influence, hitting some bouncy riffs here and there, but is just a really solid, albeit kind of straightforward delivery of what this genre is, which, as we all know, is not one of my favorite genres, so it takes something a little bit different, something that has a little bit of a tweak on the standard formula, to pique my interest. And it doesn't hurt to have production that's listenable and actually be able to hear all the instruments, have them separated out, not sound like it's recorded on a fucking karaoke machine in a garage. Like, that all goes a real long way to just hit play to begin with. And then what's on here is really solid, especially for a debut, is very impressive. And we talked about this with Transcending Obscurity. We talked about with Redefining Darkness as far as putting together a package that works and fits. The artwork to go along with this is just astonishing.
Yeah.
Like, everything about it is just, it's a really well put together concept. It's a really well put together package. It sounds great. And it's a good listen. It's not my general go-to thing. So I'm still going to land at a 3 on this, but this is really, really solid. And if you are more of a death metal fan, such as Brian, this is something that you should definitely go check.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm looking closer at this artwork now on Bandcamp, and that is gnarly. Like, there's so many good textures in there. And, like, some muted colors and things. When you look actually around the edges of the picture, some crazy shit going on with, like, looks like ribcage type bones. And that's just good artwork. We'll talk about that later this year. But, yeah. Yeah, we've talked about old school death metal before and usually how, for some reason, there's a glut of it. And also the production tends to be crap. And this, much like... Blood Incantation, found a way to make it not crap, but still sound in the old school style. It's like mildly cavernous. Like, you get the little bit of the echoey on the vocal and stuff, but it doesn't sound like it was recorded in a cave. Everything's a little rougher around the edges. But, and musically, this did grow on me a little bit more and more I listened to it. And while it's relatively straightforward, it really kind of twists and turns on the time changes and rhythms a bit, you know, especially in the percussion. And you do get some good grooves in there, which reminds me of more like mid-era, I guess it'd be early era at this point, Sepultura, like mid-max era, I would say, Sepultura, which is just excellent. And that, it's stuff like that, that groove that gives it a hook and makes it something more memorable, like Portal into Reality, which we'll play for you at the end of the show. That one stands out, especially in the Sepultura comparisons. But it does slow down a little to... doesn't quite get into doom pacing, but it like flirts with it almost. And but it gets some old school like solos in there, like you would get from, say, even early death or something, like just a thrashy type solo in the middle of the death metal song. Like,
right,
it's fitting of the style, but because it's just done in a way that I find better than a lot of their peers. I got into this even more than I was expecting to. While I'd give it one of those half point ratings that I can't do, I'm going to...
Yeah, damn right.
I can't even say one of these days, because we've been doing this, it'll be 9 years this year, and you haven't done that. But... since you will average out, I'm going to give it a 4. It's a solid album. And it, like I said, it's been, the time we've been listening to it, it's been growing on me. So it's possible to grow even further. So I can definitely stand by that, let alone the average.
Perfect.
Yeah. So that's it. That's what we got. We'll be playing the song Portal into Reality off of Portraits of Mind at the end of the show. In the meantime, make sure you're following us on social media, which we're using, particularly Instagram.
Right.
Yeah.
Go us.
I miss a day here and there because I'm just like, I don't know what to... I'm still not that good at it. Like, I don't know what to post. I'm trying. Today I did 2, so I guess that makes up for something.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, there might not be any. We'll see what happens. But we're making the... I can't take all the credit. You're doing your stories. You and your stories.
Yeah, me and my stories.
Yeah. But I actually like looking at them. So,
and my car picks some weird shit.
Yeah. We actually got a reaction to your Funeral for a Friend one. So that's interesting. We have a variety of people following us, which you should be doing. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us and like us on Facebook. if you're actually listening to the show continuously and you like it, you should go review it on iTunes. Give a nice 5-star rating. It helps people find the show. You could also, you know, just tell your friends and shit about it. Next week for 410, we're going to cover... Wow, this is really a mix of things, huh?
Yeah, it is.
There's going to be a new Black Label feature, which we have to go decide on. We're going to get some hardcore via Great American Ghost. Kavilar Talk's got a new one coming out, which we'll see what happened there. Intronaut's back. We'll be giving that a listen. And speaking of Transcending Obscurity, there's a new EP by Colosso, who we reviewed, I don't know, a couple years ago.
A long time ago, yeah.
We'll be checking that out as well. So come back for our thoughts on all that and to see what the new Black Label feature is. For now, check out the song Portrayal of Reality by Plague. Again, it's off their album Portraits of Mind, and we will see you next time.